Okay, Assalamu Alaikum, inshallah. We're going to start the Tawheed class today, and we're continuing with the topic of problems and solutions. And what we're doing is we're taking different common everyday problems that many Muslims have to endure, and we're trying to come up with a solution to them. Before we begin today's lecture, which we're going to talk about, by the way, I'm sure many of you are going to find it very interesting, because we're going to talk about how to deal with the problem of excessive laughter. And many of you will find today's lesson very interesting and beneficial, inshallah. But before we begin, let me ask some questions from yesterday. Yesterday, we talked about how to deal with the problem of oversleeping for Fajr. And we talked about how there are two points in which the Muslim should look at. And by looking at these two points, if the Muslim truly believes in Allah, then it should encourage him to do everything in his power to not oversleep through Fajr. Who can remember what were those two points? What were the two points that we discussed? Two aspects. There's two aspects as two ways of looking at Salat al-Fajr. What are those two points? A coin has two sides, side one and side two. Very good. The first thing we talked about is that the Muslim should be aware of the benefits of praying Salat al-Fajr. If a person is aware of the benefits of something, that will encourage them to do it. And the second aspect is to look at the punishment too. If the person was aware of the penalty of not doing something, that will make them think twice again. So those are the two points that we have to look at. We have to look at what are the benefits of making Fajr, and what are the penalty, what is the penalty for not doing so. Okay? And so we talked about the various different virtues or benefits of Salat al-Fajr. And who can tell me what are some of the benefits we discussed yesterday? What are some of the benefits, the virtues of praying Salat al-Fajr? Who can remember? We discussed many different hadiths wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam talked about the virtues of Salat al-Fajr. Who can remember what are some of those virtues? Very good. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever prays Salat al-Fajr in congregation, okay, he will be under Allah's protection. So that's very good, Sister Amy. That's one of the virtues of making Salat al-Fajr. The person who prays Salat al-Fajr will be under Allah's protection. What else did we learn? What's another benefit? Another virtue of Salat al-Fajr. Very good, Sister Amy. And also, if a man prays Salat al-Fajr in congregation at the mosque, it is as if he had prayed the entire night. So that's another encouraging virtue which the believer can think about and which will help to encourage him to not miss this salat. And what's some more? Who can remember? What are some more? We talked about the angels. What does Salat al-Fajr have to do with the angels? Who can remember? Who can remember? What does Salat al-Fajr have to do with the angels? Who can remember? No, we talked about a beautiful hadith. We talked about how the angels come down every day and night looking for believers engaged in acts of remembrance of Allah. And what else about that? What else about that? What does it have to do with Salat al-Fajr? What about Salat al-Fajr with these angels? Who can remember? Okay, those angels that come down looking for believers, they gather together at for Fajr and Asr. The angels that come down to earth looking for believers who are engaged in acts of remembrance of Allah, those angels meet each other and pray Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Asr in congregation. So you want to remember that. The angels that come here every day, they make Salat al-Fajr and Asr in congregation together. Okay? So those are some of the virtues of Salat al-Fajr. And then we talked about the penalty, some of the different penalties of not making this Salat. And who can remember, what are some of the penalties of not praying Salat al-Fajr? What are some of what is the seriousness of missing this Salat? Who can tell me? Very good. One of the penalties of not making Fajr is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the person who is negligent in performing Salat al-Fajr, he will be thrown by his face into the hellfire. So that's something that would scare a person into making sure that they do whatever they can to get up and pray this Salat. And also, we talked about different things that we can do, different everyday things that we can do to also help to assure ourselves of not missing Salat al-Fajr. Who can remember, what are some of those things? Very good. One thing is going to sleep early. If you are a person who has a hard time waking up in the morning, then why are you staying up all night long? You should go to sleep. Okay? Very good. Also making sure that you are clean before you sleep. We talked about how a lot of people they miss Fajr because they don't want to take a ghusl because it's too cold. So perhaps taking ghusl before going to sleep would help to remedy this. Very good. Another thing too is to have true, sincere intentions. Like Amy is typing there, to make sure that you have true intentions to wake up in time for Fajr. Very good, Brother Yusuf Ali. And also we talked about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah blesses the person who throws water on his wife or her husband to wake them up for Fajr. Very good, Abdul. We also talked about remembering Allah when you wake up. We talked about how Shaitan ties knots in the back of our neck when we're sleeping to try to make us not wake up for Fajr. So when you do wake up, we talked about how once you stand up, that loosens one knot. Once you make wudu, it loosens another. So you want to remember Allah and do things to remember Allah when you wake up. That will also help you to go ahead and make Fajr. And very good, Abdul. And we also talked about being careful not to eat too much before sleeping. Because when you feel the stomach, you become lazy. And also, you have to be careful what you eat at night, too, because if you eat something like chocolate and go to sleep, you may have bad dreams as well. Very good. And finally, we talked about not sleeping after Asr or Maghrib. And we talked about the hadith, whereas the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, disliked to sleep before Isha, and he disliked to talk after it. And the reason being is because if you would sleep before Isha, you'd miss Fajr. And if you talk after Isha, most people stay up talking all night long about nothing, and they end up oversleeping Fajr. So very good. Those are all things that we can do to inshallah help us to cure ourselves of the problem of not waking up for Fajr. And today we're going to continue with the next chapter here, which talks about how to cure ourselves of excessive laughter. Now, excessive laughter, this is a problem that is widespread, especially amongst the young kids. Someone once asked, They said, our gatherings with our friends and our colleagues are filled with too much laughter, and it goes to the extremes. What is the solution for this? There are some people who can never be serious. Even here at our website, I'm sure you guys know, there's a couple of people here. Whenever they come here, they always got to make a joke. Okay, they can never be serious. They come to the website, and these are our regular users. They're good people, but they have a problem with their joking. And they'll ask silly questions to make a joke, just like this week. And I'll give you an example. When I realized this person was being silly, and I ignored them, even though they're a regular user. Okay? For example, we're sitting here talking, answering questions about Islam, and somebody asked a question about why did the Prophet tell us that we must love the Ansar? And I went through this big whoop-de-doo explaining how the Ansar were the Arabs who took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in, and they shared everything. And this person still kept saying, why come they cover their face? And I told him, what are you talking about? Then here he is talking about some sect, some man-made crazy sect of deviants. And he thought that was funny, but I didn't find it humorous. So this is a problem that we have, guys. There's a lot of people out there who don't know how to control their laughing. They don't know when to be serious. They want to try to make everything into a joke. And this is wrong. First of all, we need to reflect on how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handled himself with laughter. Now, we're not saying that it's haram to laugh. Now, that we got some more fanatic Muslims out there who will tell you that it's haram to laugh. That is a lie. It's not haram. It's not so much what you do, but how you do it. And it also boils down to understanding that there is a time for this and a time for that. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would conduct himself in regards to laughing. He would never cackle like a hen. He used to laugh. He was human. Laughing is normal. But he would never become loud and outrageous with it. For example, it's reported that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his laughter was never more than a smile. And in another hadith, Aisha said, I never saw the Messenger of Allah laughing so heartily that his back teeth showed. He would only smile. So what this means is he would laugh, but he wouldn't cackle like a hen. There are some people who laugh so loud, they sound like a bunch of hens cackling. This is crazy, and this is wrong. Okay, and we have to remember, guys, that we're supposed to be patterning ourselves after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The highest love, the highest form of love for the Prophet is to try to pattern yourself after everything he did. He laughed, but he didn't cackle. He would never hee-haw to the point where you can look down his throat like some of these other people do. Okay? Also, again, Allah tells us in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, and it is He, Allah, who makes whom He wills laugh and makes whom He wills weep. So again, this shows that laughing is not haram. And I want everybody here to understand that we're not trying to tell you that it's haram to laugh, but we're telling you to watch how you do it and understand that there's a time for laughter and a time for being serious. Remember, guys, all of us here are Muslims who are striving to become believers. The believer's heart is spiritually corrupted by too much laughter. The believer spends most of his time thinking about the hereafter, thinking about what's going to come then. So he has no time to sit around laughing. And we have to also understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that too much laughter will corrupt the heart. Too much laughter will corrupt the heart, whereas nothing will be able to penetrate it. You'll take everything as a joke, like that person did this weekend. Everything is a joke, makes a joke out of everything when you need to be serious. Thinking about Allah, you sitting there joking about hadith, you're sitting there joking about things, and nothing is penetrating you. And that's why these kind of people, they always ask you the same silly questions over and over again. They have no understanding of their religion. They don't remember anything. They can come and attend classes every day, and they don't retain nothing because their heart is corrupted. It's corrupted with laughter. Everything is a joke. They're just looking for the next joke to tell. This is also a problem that we find in dawah too. You know, like I'm always telling you, everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to shine. Everybody thinks they're giving dawah. You see all these people out there call themselves calling people to Allah. And in reality, you know, they're calling many people away from it, or they're calling people to Islam, which is distorted. You'll find a lot of Islamic people out there who use laughter as a means of winning the people over. They say, oh, I tell jokes when I give dawah. And the reason why I do this is to make the people comfortable with me. And to get establish a rapport with them. And what these people do not realize is that what happens is they're not making the people comfortable. The people are gathering around them because they want to hear their jokes. They're not benefiting from what you have to say. And then you will find these people saying, oh, I want to talk to that sheikh, the one that makes me laugh, the sheikh who tells jokes. This is not a compliment, guys. This is bad because the people are not getting your message. All they're getting are your jokes, and they're coming to listen to you because they want to hear the next punchline. And this is wrong. When we give dawah to the people, we have to be serious. That's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He didn't give dawah by joking and with the people and all this. Okay, then we got some people who use laughter as a way of handling their problems in life. Okay, whenever they get nervous, they got to tell a joke and laugh. Whenever they're hit with a calamity, they got to make a joke out of it and laugh. This is also wrong. Again, we should treat our worries and our stresses in the way prescribed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever something was troubling him, he would say, O ever living, O eternal one, by your mercy I seek your help. Whenever the Prophet was facing a calamity, he would call upon Allah for help. He didn't sit there and joke about it. And what's really sad today is that we got Muslims today, ever since 9/11, Muslims are trying to win the acceptance of the kuffar, which is also wrong. But we got Muslims who are trying to win the acceptance of them. We now have comedians. We now have so-called Muslim comedians who are appearing on the television. There's one Muslim female comedian from Pakistan, and what a disgrace she is. She wears a hijab and dresses according to the laws of Islam, but she stands up on a stage in the nightclubs telling jokes about her religion. And she thinks she's doing something good. They have the nerve to have her all over the internet. Oh, look at this good Muslim woman giving dawah to the people by being a comedian. No, she's not. First of all, she doesn't have any business as a woman who fears Allah standing up in front of a bunch of men laughing and cackling. Now, I'm going to tell you something else about women. And you guys witnessed that here a couple of weeks ago at our website. And a lot of times you guys will see it even here with me. A lot of people call me harsh. I have to be. There's a certain way a woman is supposed to behave in the public. The Muslim woman must always be serious. Serious. She can never, ever, ever soften her voice. Okay? She has to be direct. She has to be straight to the point. She has to hit it right there on the nail. Okay? A lot of times here, for those of you who are regular users, you may see that after the classes, I'll try to relax with the people. You may hear me say, hey, Abdul, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Hey, Sister Amina, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Or I'll say, Mutakun, what's up, dude? And I'll start to laugh or something. And what happened? Sheikh Atlee. You'll see Sheikh Atlee come on here and mute me. He will mute me. And the reason why is because I had no business doing that. A Muslim woman is not supposed to laugh in the public because laughing involves softening the voice. Telling jokes, this is not the behavior of a Muslim woman. And that's why you will see Sheikh Atlee come in here and mute me with the quickness. And a couple of times you guys witness him, he took the microphone and told me, you don't laugh on the microphone, sister. Okay? So here we have a so-called Muslim comedian traveling all over the world telling jokes about her religion as she stands there before the kufar in a hijab, in a bar, in a nightclub with smoke and alcohol making jokes about her religion, and she claims she's giving dawah. She calls herself giving dawah. And then we find other people who travel around the world inviting people to Allah, but they use jokes. This is wrong. And they think that these jokes are making the people comfortable. No, it's not. The people are only listening to you because they want to hear your punchline. And they run around referring to you as the sheikh who makes me laugh, the sheikh who tells the jokes. This should be an insult to anyone who calls himself living the life of inviting others to Allah. So again, guys, these things show you the seriousness of excessive laughter. Again, laughing itself is not haram, but we have to understand there's a time for this and there's a time for that. You have to understand that if you are out there giving dawah, you are representing all the Muslims in the world. And you have to be careful. Careful in how you conduct yourself. If you are a Muslim woman, you've got to be even more careful because you have to also follow guidelines that Allah put down and for you. For example, it's a compliment when you guys tell me I'm harsh. It doesn't hurt my feelings. That lets me know I'm doing my job. I'm obeying the law. I don't care about anybody telling me, wow, that woman has a strong voice. Wow, that woman sounds like a man. Alhamdulillah, that means I'm obeying my Lord. But if you were to come here and tell me, oh, she sounds so pretty. Oh, Sister Layla, I love to hear you speak. Your voice is sexy. Or, oh, Sister Layla, tell me a joke. Then I need to start fearing Allah then. Because that means I'm doing something wrong. Something very wrong. So we have to really be careful about this laughing. So now this brings us to the point. A lot of people who suffer from the disease of excessive laughter, they will then ask us, okay, I understand that it's something that we should not do, but how can we cure ourselves of this? Well, again, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has given us many suggestions as to how to cure ourselves of the disease of excessive laughter. For example, remembering death. Remembering death, that's the best cure for everything. It doesn't matter what you are suffering from, remembering death is always a cure. So if you are a person who has a hard time taking things serious, start thinking about death. Think about the punishment of the grave. Think about how you have to stand before Allah on the day of judgment, and it won't be no joking then. Think about that Sirat bridge that you have to go across, and it won't be time to sit up and tell a joke then. And think about all the other terrors that come in the hereafter. And that's one sure way to make you become more serious. Another thing we can do to cure ourselves of the disease of excessive laughing is to think about the situations of the Muslims over the world. Look around us. The Muslims are suffering. The Muslims are being punished. There's nothing funny about the war in Afghanistan. There's nothing funny about what's going on in Israel. There's nothing funny about the war in Iraq. There's nothing funny about Muslims dying of starvation in the Sudan. There's nothing funny about any of this stuff. You look at that stuff and then reflect on how Allah says that He will send His wrath upon us because we are away from obeying His laws and we are away from the Sunnah. And that'll make you a more serious person. You will realize that it's not a laughing matter. Like the woman from Pakistan, the comedian who tells jokes about the war in Afghanistan, how can she find humor in that? How can anybody find humor in the suffering of others, a person who truly fears Allah? So remembering death and reflecting on the suffering and the punishment of the Muslims around the world, that will also help you to cure yourself of this excessive laughter. Another thing we can do is avoid mixing with jokesters. People that you know who are never serious, people that you know who sit around laughing all the time, stay away from them. Keep away from them. And if they come around you, get up and leave. Again, for those people who call themselves giving dawah, and they use the tactic of making people laugh as a means of winning them over, they need to do away with this. Realize that Allah says in the Quran, in the interpretation, the meaning, verily this Quran is the word that separates the truth from falsehood. And it is not a thing for amusement. So for those people out there who give dawah and try to make a joke out of this religion, understand that Allah says that the Quran is not a thing for amusement. Don't make a joke out of this way of life. Don't make a joke out of the words of Allah. You don't have to win the people over with your jokes. You win them over with the truth. Because as Allah states in this verse, the Quran separates the truth from falsehood. The same way we tell you guys here, you don't have to read no Bible to give dawah either. This is wrong. No Muslim should be sitting up reading a Bible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never in his life read a Bible, and he would not allow any of the companions to read it to him either. Okay? All you need to give dawah to others is the book of Allah, the Quran, because the Quran separates the truth from falsehood. You want to give dawah to a Christian, you read the Quran to them. And if they have any ounce of belief in Allah, they will recognize those words and they will bow down and submit to Allah if they are truly a person who believes. If they are a person who does not believe, you can stand on your head and tell a million jokes and read the Quran till you turn blue in your face, and they will not embrace this religion, because Allah makes Muslims, not you, not me. Okay? So we need to understand these things, guys. And we need to take our religion serious. Take it serious. Don't take it as a playground. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you knew what I know, you would laugh little and weep much, and you would go out to the hills calling to Allah for help." And what he means by that is, if we were allowed to see what he has seen, Allah allowed him to look down into hell, and he saw the people being punished in the hellfire for little things that we call trivial, like the woman who kept a cat locked up and it died of hunger, or the woman who was hanging from her hamstrings in hell because she wore see-through clothing. She wore a hijab that you could see her hair through. So if we knew the things that the Prophet knew, we would take life more serious and would spend more time weeping than sitting around laughing and looking for the next joke that comes along. We got to fear Allah. Fear Allah. We have to resist the urges of Shaitan. And excessive laughter comes from Shaitan. Excessive joking comes from Shaitan. Excessive anything comes from Shaitan. I tell you guys all the time, Shaitan looks into the hearts of each and every one of us. If he recognizes that you are weak in your iman, that you don't have much knowledge of your religion, he will push you to become lazy and negligent. If he looks inside your heart and sees that you have faith, that you truly do believe in Allah, he'll try to make you an extremist. So that's where that excessive laughter comes from too. That's where that excessive joking comes from too. We need to find the middle course, guys. Find the middle course and not be extreme in what we do. And finally, one last thing that we can do to cure ourselves of excessive laughter is to change the subject that leads to laughter. Okay? Like this weekend, when that person called him, sent me through that whole trip about the Anzar, and when I realized he was sitting here calling himself, playing, making a joke, somebody else took the microphone. I think it was Brother G-Shake or somebody. Somebody took the microphone and changed the topic to something totally different. No, it was Brother Adam. Brother Adam typed on the screen. He said, "Let's change the topic to something different." And that's what you do. That is what you do. So again, guys, inshallah, if you fear Allah, following the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should help to cure us of this disease of excessive laughter. Again, laughing is not haram. It's not haram to laugh. But again, we need to remember there's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time to be funny and a time to be serious. There's a time to joke and a time not to joke. And too many of us don't know when the correct time is. And that's the problem. Okay, we'll stop right here for today. And then tomorrow, inshallah, we'll continue with the next chapter of our book, I think, which talks about how to cure the bad thoughts from Shaitan. That's why I say this for tomorrow. A lot of people suffer from, we call it waswas. Waswas. Insinuating thoughts from the Shaitan. We're going to talk about how to get those thoughts that you get from Shaitan out of your mind. So if you guys have any questions about anything, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.